Okay. Good. Now, well done for reading that. And you may be thinking, all-age service, that passage. Well done, very brave. There's a lot in there. There's an enormous amount in there, and we're not going to be able to cover it all. As I said at the start, we're doing three sermons in this series, all about what we're about as a church. But let's pray and ask God for his help as we head into today's sermon. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please would you teach us as we read your word. Help us to understand it and help us to live it out. Amen. Okay, so, as I said, the sermon series is about what we're about as a church. We've said our aim is for people to come to Jesus, grow in him, and go out to serve him. And so this morning we're thinking about the first of those, that our aim is for people to come to Jesus. But why? Why do we want people to come to Jesus? Is it just a nice thing to do? Something where people say, well, it's a good thing to know Jesus. It's just a nice way to live. Or is it actually far, far, far more important than that? And of course, you'll guess, I'm going to say it is far, far, far more important than that. It is, in fact, essential that we come to Jesus. We need Jesus. Let's have a little look at the first of those verses. By the way, that reading that was just read there, all of those verses, that whole passage, when Paul originally wrote that in the Greek, he wrote it in Greek, was one sentence. It was all one sentence. If you ever write a really long sentence at school, forget to put in some full stops maybe, you can just say, well, look, I'm being like Paul in the Bible. Your teacher will look at you as if you're mad, but they may think, oh, okay, fair enough. Because Paul wrote, it was all one enormous long sentence, that bit. Let's have a look at the first verse. So verse 3, if you've got your Bible open in front of you, have a look at verse 3. So page 1173, if you've lost it. By losing it, I mean losing your page, rather than having lost it in any other kind of way. So verse 3 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Right at the beginning of this letter that Paul is writing to the Ephesians, he is telling the Ephesians something really important about themselves. He is saying, you Ephesians, you have every spiritual blessing. If you're a Christian, if you've got Jesus, you have already got every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. Now, our temptation is to think, well, so what? What difference does that make? I mean, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, that sounds a bit like, I'll come back to this in a moment. Hang on. Oh, no, I missed out that slide. That sounds a bit like, ignore that. That sounds a bit like if I was to say to you, I'm going to give you £1 million. And you go, yes. And then I say, in Monopoly money. And you go, yeah. See, if I say, in Christ, if you come to Christ, you have everything. And you go, yes! Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. You go, all right. But actually, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm is far more valuable than all this world can offer you. It is everything. It is more important than food, than drink, than anything else. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms is fantastic. And we need to realize that. So, as you've already seen, if you have Jesus, you have everything. If you don't have Jesus, you have nothing. So I want you to join in with me, just because we're going to come back to this slide several times. Can you join in the bits that are in bold there? So if you have Jesus, you have
everything.
If you don't have Jesus, you have
nothing.
Let's do it again. If you have Jesus, you have
everything.
If you don't have Jesus, you have
nothing.
And that is true. It really is true. If you've got Jesus, you've got everything. That's what Paul is saying in that first verse, isn't it? You've got every spiritual blessing. Now, what are those blessings? We're going to ask three questions. The first of which is, what are those blessings? Second of which is something else. So is he having forgotten where he's going? What's the cost? That was it. Second is, what's the cost? And third is, how can you come to Jesus? So the first, what are these blessings? Well, they're described for us in verses 4 and 5. So you need your Bibles open again. Verses 4 and 5. What are these blessings? Verse 4. Begins with the word for, which means it's explaining what's gone before. 4. He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. So Paul is saying, this is God's big plan. This is the blessings that I've got for you, that God has got for us. He has chosen us. Now, we're not going to spend a long time on that, but that is true. It's throughout the Bible, for anyone to become a Christian, God has to choose them to open up their heart to Jesus. It has to happen. It's the only way it can happen. Now, let's not get too worried about this. What do you need to do about it? Just respond to Jesus. And if you do respond to Jesus, that's because God has been at work in you. So just respond to Jesus. We're not going to spend longer on that idea of God choosing. But that's throughout the Bible. What's the blessing? What has God chosen us for, according to verse 4? Okay, you need to help me here. Have a look at the verse. How do you fill in the words there? So, he's chosen us for what? To be what? Have a look in the verses. To be what? Put your hand up when you've found just the first word there. No one's found it. No one's even got a Bible. Have you got a Bible? You've got a Bible. Hey, we've got some people who've got Bibles. Excellent. I'm glad to see it. Go for it, George.
Holy and blameless.
Thank you, both of them. Holy and blameless. That's right. Holy and blameless. Now, what does that mean? Holy means set apart, different. Blameless? Well, blameless means no blame, as in pure, perfect. So God is saying, through Paul, this is one of his big blessings for us, is that his plan for those who are Christians, for those who've got Jesus, is that they will be made perfect, absolutely spotless, pure, perfect. Now, I don't know about you, but we aren't pure and spotless and perfect, are we? I wonder how many, even this morning, have had to say sorry for things. Children, have you had to say sorry even this morning for something? We do have to say sorry a lot, don't we? And parents, adults, we have to say sorry a lot, don't we? Because we make a mess of things. You see, our problem is we're not perfect. We don't get it right. And yet God's plan, God's great blessing for us, is that he's going to take us to being perfect. That's his plan for you. I have some coins here. And these were fairly dirty coins. They were fairly grim. And so I decided to soak them in Coca-Cola for 3 days. You could try other drinks, but I don't think it would work. And don't drink the Coke afterwards. That would be grim. And they've come up really nice and shiny. Would anyone like? Oh, they're not pound coins or anything. They're 2p's. But would anyone like? Any children? Anybody want one of these coins? Yeah, go for it. Oh, my children. Actually, I get to get the money back. Anybody else? Want to go for it? There you go. There we go. You want money? Yeah. Now you can say to people during this week, you were paid to come to church. There you go. Anyone else? Come on, I've got loads. There you go. Anyone else? Girls, do you want money? No, you don't want money. Okay. Anybody else? Go on, have some money. No, I can't give it away. Yeah, at the back there. Well done. There you go. Do you want money? Here you go. There you go. Do you want one? No, maybe not. Right. What's the point of the shiny coins? The point of the shiny coins is that they were dirty. They were really horrible. And, okay, these coins, they've not come up perfect, have they? But they're still nice and shiny. Some of them are like, they're like new. Which shows what grim stuff Coca-Cola is. But that's not the main point, is it? The main point is that the coins have come up nice and shiny. And actually, that's God's purpose for us, is that at the moment we're grim. We're dirty. We have to say sorry for things. But there will come a day. God's plan is that there will come a day when we will be made perfect. When there won't be any need for the naughty step. There won't be any need for saying sorry. And won't that be great? Don't you sometimes just get so frustrated with yourself that you do things wrong, that you get things wrong, that you make a mess of things? We get so annoyed with ourselves that we do it, but yet we keep on doing it. And yet there will be a day when we won't be like that, where we will get things right if we've got Jesus. That's the first blessing. Now, that's brilliant, isn't it? But there's more. See, the first blessing is to be made perfect. What's the second thing? There's another blessing. It's in verse 5. Have a look. Okay, we've got another... you need to fill in the gaps again. You need to have a look. So, what do you fill the gaps in with? What does he predestined us for? Aaron.
To be adopted as his sons.
To be adopted as his sons. Thank you. Yeah, that's right. So this is the next great blessing that Paul outlines. He says, yes, you're going to be made perfect, but also to be adopted as his sons. Now, our family, we went to Hampton Court Palace the other day, and it was great fun. We went round the William III apartments bit. Brilliant. Great fun going round that bit. In that bit, you've got this room here, which is the first room you go into. It's fantastic. It's got loads of armoury all round the walls, loads of guns and swords and that sort of thing. And that's the first room that you come into. And the idea is that the guards would be there, and then there were various rooms as you would go through. And if you've been around the palace, you know this for actually lots of the different bits. That for William III, in this bit, if you were just one of the common people, well, you might not even get this far, but you might get a little bit further. You might get into the next room. If you were closer to William, you might get into the next room. And then as you go through, less and less people can come through. You've got to be really close to the king to get through. Let's try and act this out. I need someone to be William III. Anyone willing to be William III? I tell you, everyone, if you put your hand up, come forward, because I need you. Okay, anyone willing to be William III? Who's going to be William III? Well, yeah, okay, who's going to be William III? Who would make a good William III? We go for let's go for Tobes. Tobes, you be William III. It's not just because you're my son, but there we go. Now, we also need some people who want to get into the presence of William III. No, you have the coin. That's fine. You guys, who would like to be a guard? We need a guard. Okay, I think Aaron, you'd make a great guard. Guard, would you stand before the king? Now, of course, we don't have rooms and rooms and rooms here. You're just going to have to be in front of the king. So you decide whether people can come in to see the king or not. This is quite good. So you three, would you come down over here? And now, you've got to think up a name for yourself and a reason why you want to see the king. Okay, just have a moment, have a think. Why might you want to see the king? Just have a think. If you're not sure... Maybe because, I don't know, you want more land, or you... I don't know, what reasons could they have for seeing the king? Anyone, any ideas? You've got one? Because he's the king? Sorry? Someone's stolen their land. Maybe you've got a plea, something like that. Yeah? Or you just want to see the king? I don't know. Okay, who's going to go first? They're pointing at you, Daniel. Daniel, you're pointing at Ollie. Oh, no, okay, who's going to go first? Okay, Ollie, okay, come on then. Okay, so present your case to the guard. Do you want to just move to one side because people can't see through you? That's it. Present your case to the guard here. Why do you want to see the king? What do you think? Get out of here. You're gone. Sorry. No, next one. Are you sure? Do you want me to come with you? I'll plead your case for you. Okay? Okay, it's all right. I'll say it for you, all right? So, Ella would like to see the king because it's your birthday. It's her birthday, and she'd like to see the king. No. Okay, sorry. No. You get to go and sit down. Daniel, your go.
Someone stole my land.
What do you think? Are you going to let him in?
Get out.
Out of here. No, you're gone as well. But you've done very well. You've kept. The king's had a very quiet day. You've not had much to do, have you? No, it's been easy, hasn't it? You've done your job really well. Okay, guys, could you go and sit back down? I'll have my sword back. Thank you very much. Give them a round of applause. Thank you. No. You keep that. Okay, the point there was they couldn't get in to see the king because of the guy with the sword. Now, what about us with God? Can we just come into God's presence? Can we just say, oh, I'll just go in and be with God? I'll just talk to God. I'll be God's friend. Well, no, we can't. Actually, if you flick over the page to 2 verse 3, we looked at this verse last week, actually. Just at the end, that verse says, chapter 2, verse 3, page 1174, says, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. You see, on our own, flick back to Ephesians 1 if you want, on our own, we deserve God's anger. We deserve God's wrath because we were sinful. And so if you've got the guy with the sword there and God is here and you're coming up to God and you're saying, I want to see God. He's going to say, no, you can't see God. You're a sinner. And yet God's blessing is this. This incredible blessings that God has is that not only can you actually go in and be with God, you can call God your Father because of what Jesus has done for you. If you've got Jesus, your destiny is that you're going to be made perfect. But right here and now, you can call God your Father. You can relate to him as your Father. But without Jesus, you deserve God's anger. And we will face that for eternity if we don't have Jesus. Do you see then why I say... Hang on. So what's the first blessing? To be made perfect. What's the second one? To be God's child. Be God's children. Without Jesus, we can't have either. In fact, we get God's anger. And so do you see why I say, if you have Jesus, you have...
everything.
But if you don't have Jesus, you have...
nothing.
It's essential that we come to Jesus. We need Jesus. We're going to find out more in a few minutes. Colin. Okay. If you have Jesus, you have...
everything.
If you don't have Jesus, you have?
Nothing.
Thank you. Okay, we've seen. What are the blessings? Well, the blessings are to be made perfect. That's where we're heading. We're not there yet. But God's promised that's where he's going to take us if we've got Jesus. We trust Jesus. And second one is to be God's children, which we have now and look forward to for all eternity if we have Jesus. What are the blessings? That's them. Second, what is the cost? I want you to imagine that I've been to your house and I have taken, don't worry, I haven't actually. But I've taken your TV from home and I've taken your computers, iPads, smartphones, anything like that, anything sort of screen-like. I've taken them, and I've got them all locked away, just back here. It's going to be a happy afternoon for me. I wonder, how much would you pay to get them back? What would you pay? How much? Maybe you've got no concept of how much money. Maybe the 2p, thank you. The 2p I just gave you, in fact. But maybe you would say, actually, I'd give a lot. I'd give all my money to have that back. Maybe you'd say, well, I'd give all my parents' money to have them back. But maybe that's something that you would say, actually, that's quite, you know, that's something I really want. And you've taken it, and you've taken it captive. That idea of how much you would pay, that amount you would pay, that would be called a ransom. If you were going to pay the ransom. And if you paid the ransom, if you paid the money, then you would say you've redeemed your television or your iPad or whatever it is. What's the cost? What's the cost for us being able to be perfect? Because we're not perfect. What's the cost for us being able to be children of God? Because we're not children of God on our own. Well, we find out in the passage. Turn back, would you, to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. And actually, we need to cast our eyes down a little bit further to verse 7. So it's page 1173. And we need to fill in the gaps again. So, page 1173, verse 7. Okay, how do we fill in the gaps? Can someone shout out? In him we have redemption. Thank you. Through his blood, the forgiveness of... Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. In him we have redemption. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. What's then the price? What's the cost? The cost is Jesus' blood. It's his death. And because he died through his blood, we have redemption. We've been bought back. Like the telly, if you'd paid the money and got the telly back, it's saying God has paid the price. The price is Jesus. His death for us. And because he died, we can be made perfect. Because he died, we can be his children. Why? Because we need our sins forgiven. And when Jesus died on the cross, he took God's wrath for us. In our place, bearing God's anger for us. And so what's the cost? The cost is Jesus. dying for us. Again, do you see why you need Jesus? It's not an optional extra. Because if Jesus hasn't paid the price for you, then your sin is still on you. You're still dirty. You can't be God's child, and God's wrath still remains on you. And that's a really serious state to be in. But if you've got Jesus, he died for you, you're forgiven, you can be his child. Last question. That was what's the cost. Last one. How do I come to Jesus? How do I actually do it? If I said to you, come to me, you would probably get up and actually start walking towards me. When I say come to Jesus, what do I actually mean? Well, we need to cast our eyes further down in the passage. Actually, it's up onto the next column. Verse 13 there. Have a look. How do you come to Jesus? It says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Okay, so there's a process going on there, isn't there? There are different steps. So it says you've got to hear the word of truth, believe it, and then you get the Holy Spirit in you as a deposit. You've got to hear the word, believe it, and you get the Holy Spirit. So how do you come to Christ? You've got to hear the word, and you've got to believe it, and God gives you his Spirit. You've got to hear. You've actually got to hear the word. Which is why the Bible is at the centre of what we do on Sundays. Because in the Bible we learn about Jesus. In the Bible we meet Jesus. And here's a challenge for all of us who are involved in teaching. We're going to commission the children's and youth group leaders in a moment. Children's, youth group leaders, here's a challenge for you. And for me as I teach here. For any involved in teaching. Is the Bible, do you trust the Bible to do God's work? Do we trust the Bible? It's a particular challenge, I think, for those doing youth work. Because we can be tempted to think, what we've got to do, we've got to make everything relevant for the young people. And that's true. But the temptation is then we kind of dot around. We do this bit of the Bible, that bit of the Bible, this other bit. And maybe we'll forget about the Bible this week and we'll do this other thing and do that thing and whatever. Do we actually trust the Bible to do God's work? By his Spirit at work. Do we trust it? Or do we not? Do we trust that all of the Bible is relevant? You don't have to make it relevant, you've just got to show it's relevant. What difference does that make to the way that we do youth work, children's work, Sunday mornings? Well, we need to teach the Bible, keep teaching it. And prayerfully, praying that God, by his Spirit, would work to open up people's eyes to Jesus. How do you come to Jesus? By hearing the word, believing, and God's Spirit at work in us. And therefore, how do you come to Jesus? Well, there's a prayer that we can pray. Don't worry about the picture that I said about earlier. Oh, no, do worry about the picture. Yes, do worry about the picture. Yes. I was going to say, at Hampton Court Palace, you've got this room with all this armoury in it. Imagine, they said that the French were the baddies at this time. I'm poor on history. Imagine the French were attacking, and you've got all these guards in this guard room, and they decide to go out, and they're going to go out and fight. And they say, well, we're going to go and fight, and we'll take with us a whole load of dusters. Well, that's not what you're going to fight with. That would be ridiculous. Who would take a duster to go and fight with? You're going to get killed. No, if you've got all that armoury, you take the armoury with you. Similarly, if we've got the Bible is God's word. It is God's way of opening up people's hearts. And therefore, at youth work, children's work, we don't need to focus so much on saying, how can we do things that are relevant for youth? Rather, we need to say, what's God's way of reaching out to people? And God's way is his word. So we need to trust his word. Now, I'm not saying our youth and children's work that we don't do that. I'm just encouraging you to say, have trust in the way God wants to do things. Thank you. Let's go back to that other slide. How can I come to Jesus? Well, I'm actually going to give you a prayer that we can pray, and we can pray that now. So if we could go on to the next slide. Sorry, I haven't done it myself. I'm just going to pray this prayer. I'm going to go through it once, and then I'm going to pray it again. In case there are people here who maybe have never come to Jesus, this is the way to do it, by praying this prayer, or another prayer like it. And you don't have to do it here, you can do it at another time. I'm just going to read it through once, and then we'll pray it again, and you can pray it for yourself. Whether you're a child, whether you're an adult, it would be great if you prayed this prayer. It says, Dear God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm sorry I ignore you. Thank you that you sent Jesus to die for me. Please forgive me and help me to live with Jesus as my King from now on. Okay, I'm going to pray it through again. And we're going to close our eyes and we'll pray. And if you want to pray, maybe you're praying this for the first time. That would be a great thing to do. Let's close our eyes. Dear God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm sorry I ignore you. Thank you that you sent Jesus to die for me. Please forgive me and help me to live with Jesus as my King from now on. Amen. Well, if you have prayed that prayer for the first time, it would be great. Do tell me, do tell someone else you know to be a Christian. If you're a child, maybe tell your parent. And it would be great then for that person to pray for you. Because that is how you come to Christ, by trusting in him. And if we do, we have those blessings, those wonderful blessings. Now, we've talked about the children's and youth leaders. And one of the things that we're doing today is to commission those children's and youth leaders. It is great that you are going to be doing the work that you're going to be doing. I would encourage you, please, be praying for the children and young people in your groups that they would come to Jesus. We're going to do the commissioning now. So if you're one of our children's group leaders or youth group leaders, please would you come up to the front now. Oh, you're going to need a sheet of paper with the words on it. Here you go. You need it? Now, can we? Yeah, well done. Do move things around. Can we just go for it roughly in age of the age group, not your age? Well, you can do it if you like, but the age groups that you work with. So you could have scramblers this side, work your way up to vision that side. So where have we got? We've got scramblers leaders here, Kate and Sue. We've got climbers leaders there, Hilary and Christine. Where are our explorers leaders? Debbie and Phil, there we go, and Yvonne. Pathfinder leaders, sort of just there, sort of mingling a little bit with the vision leaders on the end. Thank you for the work that you're going to be doing. I hope you can see the words that we've got here. I'm going to read the bits that I should read, all right? And you go for the bits that you should read. And we've got a bit that we should all say, which is on the back of the sheet, where it says we all say together. Okay. The Bible tells us that the responsibility for bringing up children in the training and instruction of the Lord rests with their parents. Will you support and encourage parents in their ministry to their children? The Bible also tells us that teachers are among God's gifts to his church, so that the whole body of Christ may be built up. You stand here in the presence of Jesus Christ and his church as those who have been given the role of teaching, pastoring, and praying for the young. In this service, will you work loyally with your fellow leaders, the minister, and the congregation of this church? Will you diligently teach the Bible week by week to the children and young people we entrust to your care?
Amen.
Will you be careful in your daily life to let your conduct be governed by the teaching of Christ, to develop your own intimacy with him, and to make yourself an example to the children and young people in all you say and do?
Amen.
Over the page. Will you be faithful in your prayer and preparation and in cultivating good relationships with the children in your groups and their families?
Amen.
And will you be faithful in your commitment to the body of Christ here at Emmanuel Church, of which these groups are a part?
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ, who commanded us to make disciples, we renew your commission to teach his word and proclaim his gospel of saving love to children and young people. And now we all say together, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Teach, train, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. And the leaders pray this prayer together. Lord God, take our hands and work through them.
take our lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for the work that you're going to be doing. And thank you for agreeing to do those things. Let's give them a round of applause as they go back down to their seats.